Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the last of our four studies of the four glories of God. We've been very selective in considering the glories of God. They are certainly more than four. We have considered the glory of His grace, the glory of His power, and then on the last broadcast, the glory of Christ's coming. And today we wish to, with the help of the Lord, consider the subject, the glory of Christ's person. Christ's person is, God is still greater than anything that He's ever done, anything that distinguishes God. And that's the glory of God, the aura that surrounds Him. Certainly anything that He has done, any glory that He has demonstrated before us, certainly is not as great as the glory of His own person. And our Lord Jesus Christ craves that we shall know His glory in that coming day. Now we will read in John chapter 17 of the glory that Christ shares with the Father. We read in that wonderful chapter, John 17, the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 4, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self for the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. He is asking for that glory back again. Our Lord Jesus Christ laid aside His visible glories when He came to earth, but not His moral glories, nor did He lay aside His attributes. He was God in manifest in human flesh. But He did lay aside those visible glories like the Shekinah glory. He did take it to Himself briefly on the Mount of Transfiguration, but that's the only instance, really. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ laid aside those glories for a purpose, that He might come down here and take up residence in a human body so that He could die for your sins and for my sins. As God, He couldn't die. But as man, He could die. And He became a man so that He could die for you and for me. God must punish sin. The wages of sin is death. God wants us in His heaven. But He can't take us there with our sin upon us. So He sent His Son to die on the cross for you and for me, that our sins might be put away, that they might be atoned for, that they might be paid for. And all that He asks for you and me is just to love the One who first loved us and trust Him, believe in Him, make Him our Savior. And that's why He came. Philippians chapter 2 gives us some thought of what the Lord Jesus Christ did when He came to earth. We read there in verse 5 of the second chapter of Philippians, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, the outward display of His glories, I might say, thought it not robbery, or the margin has it more correctly, thought it not a thing to be grasped after, to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Now He laid aside that glory, and the Lord Jesus asked His Father that that glory might be restored. And then He asks Him further, later in this same wonderful chapter, in verse 24, He asks Him for that glory back for another reason. He says there, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Now, I think He's thinking forward to the millennial reign, and there He will reign in glory. And He says, I want them to see My glory. It was not displayed except to Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there only briefly, and just for a moment. And they were not to talk about it either. Now He says here, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory. Well, they beheld His glory, His moral glories, and they beheld something of the glory of his omniscience, his omnipotence, and his omnipresence while he was here, though they wouldn't have recognized him under those terms. Now our Lord Jesus Christ is asking the Father, I want my own to see my glory. And do you know why? He wants to share that glory with you and with me. That glory will be made manifest in the millennial reign. There are two wonderful, wonderful parables in the Gospels. One is the parable of the pounds and one is the parable of the talents, where we are shown to have reigned, to reign indeed with Christ in that coming day. Now let's talk about his glories that were displayed upon earth. Now there is a moral glory as he introduces us, so to speak, to his Father in John chapter 1, verse 14. And there we read, of course, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came down to display the Father. He is the Word, capital W, the divine logos, and by words we express ourselves, and he was the complete expression of all that the Father was. I'm going to read that verse again. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the glory that he wants to share with you and me. This is the glory that he shall share with you and me in that coming day. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, and if children, that's what we are, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not to be worthy, are not worthy, rather, to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When? When we see his glory. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, this is the redeemed, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign over the earth. This is our future. But now let's look more in detail at his glory as he displayed it on earth. We have read the introduction to it in John chapter 1 and 14, and then in the very next chapter we read something of that glory as he performed his first miracle. John chapter 2 and verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This was at the marriage of Cana in Galilee. They ran out of wine. The mother of Jesus says they had no wine, and he miraculously turned the water in six pots, water pots, into wine, and the feast went on. Now, wine in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, is a symbol of joy. And this is the first miracle that he performed. He came to bring joy to you and to me through the knowledge of salvation, through the knowledge of his person, and for association with him in that age, that world to come. Now we go on. His glory was displayed further in his divine attributes, his omniscience particularly, as displayed in the house of Simon the Pharisee. This is recorded in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Christ is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. Now we mean by that, he knows all, he is everywhere, and he's all-powerful. Omni means powerful, all, rather. Now, in that instance, in the 7th chapter of the Gospel, according to St. Luke, a Pharisee invited the Lord Jesus to come to his house for supper. While he was there, a woman of the street came in, and I mean she was a woman of the street, and she sat down behind him They reclined in those days when they ate, with their feet upward from the table. She wept over him, washed his feet with her tears, dried them with the hairs of her head, and anointed his feet. Simon says, if this man, if he's a prophet, he would have known what woman this manner of woman this is, and he wouldn't let him touch her. He says, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. Simon says, say on. He says, there were two debtors, one 500 pence debtor, one a 50 pence debtor. And when they had nothing to pay, their Lord forgave them both. Which one will love their Lord the most? He said, the 500 pence debtor. Well, he went on and he told Simon, Simon, I know what you were thinking. You thought I didn't know who this woman is. She's a 500 pence debtor. She's forgiven. She loves me much. And she's showing it. Simon didn't show it. Oh, he should have learned from that. He learned that Christ was omniscient. Now, his omnipresence is demonstrated in John chapter 1. When the Lord Jesus Christ is introducing himself to his disciples, Philip brings Nathanael. And when Nathanael is approaching, the Lord says, here comes a man with no guile. And Nathanael, he certainly was challenged by the statement. He says, how do you know me? He says, before you were under the fig tree, I saw you. You know, Nathanael said something very remarkable. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Where was Nathanael? Was Christ there? He was there. He knew in his omnipresence that Philip, or rather Nathanael, was under that fig tree. What was he doing? I think he was praying. And here's the one he is praying to. And then there is that verse in Matthew 11, or rather Matthew 18 and 20. The Lord Jesus is the speaker. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Will they see him? Not necessarily, not at all. Whether they're gathered together in Africa or in the United States, the Lord is in both gatherings. He's omnipresent. And he is omnipotent. He raised three people from the dead while he was on this earth. He showed his omnipotence, his power. Oh, we could go on indefinitely with the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ, but time forbids. And this broadcast very evidently is run upon a schedule of time. We just close the study reluctantly. Our Father, we do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that somehow the Spirit of God will have his way with us, and we'll realize the greatness of our Lord Jesus and love him because he first loved us and died for us on that cross. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.